Although I'm the one giving this talk, I'm going to present the work of our group. We work in the environmental chemistry, agrochemistry group of the Institute of Natural Resources and Agrobiology of the Spanish Council of Scientific Research. And in my talk, I'm going to show how much Bill has contributed to our careers and all the publications that we have together. And what we do is we study the environmental behavior of agrochemicals and other compounds that can reach the soil and have a consequence of human activities, mainly in the soil water system. We perform different type of experiments, molecular level, laboratory level, and field scale levels. And the main objectives of our research is to study the role of the soil components affecting pesticide absorption in soil water system, the use of soil components as sorbents and its possible applications. And in the last years, we've been working in projects related with the effect of organic amendments on pesticide absorption. Here, I think this morning there was a similar graph where you see all the processes that affect pesticides once they are in the soil. And desorption is very important because it controls the amount of pesticide that is available in the soil solution or in the soil air, and it determines the amount that is available for leaching, degradation, runoff. Here, I don't know if you see it too well, but this morning HH talked about desorption and 2,4,5-T. And we didn't have Bill's thesis available, but we had his publications. And this was a characterization of his thesis in the desorption of 2,4,5-T from soils by Koskinen, O'Connor, and HH in 1979. Was one of the first papers I read about sorption when I was working on my PhD. And I didn't realize that just a few years later I would publish with Bill a very nice paper that is one of my, most highly cited paper of imidacloprid of Bayer. Unfortunately, it's banned. Well, about the factors affecting pesticide absorption, the most important are the molecular properties, the functional groups, charge and polarity, water solubility, characteristics of the solid phase, that I will center my talk a little bit in this, especially the colloidal fraction, the smallest fraction of the soil, the characteristics of the soil solution, pH and ionic strength, and other factors such as temperature and soil moisture. Well, it is traditionally accepted that the organic matter is responsible for pesticide absorption, especially non-ionic pesticides, because mineral surfaces, well, they have hydrophilic character, they are strongly hydrated, and pesticide molecules, they tend to absorb to organic surfaces instead of to mineral surfaces. That's why there's absorption coefficient, the KOC, which is widely used in models for pesticide prediction, and also indexes such as Goose index for predicting risk of leaching of groundwater contamination, which is based in KOC and also on half-life. But we've done a lot of work with soil mineral colloids because they are important in the case of ionic or polar pesticides. Soils of low organic matter content, like typical in the Mediterranean region, because of due to the weather conditions, the mineralization processes predominate over humidification processes, and they are also important in soils of high clay content. Here I show some results of simple correlation coefficients of KF with soil properties, and you see that in a number of 12 soils with an organic matter content of less than 2%, we find a higher correlation with clay and different type of clay, like Mamaroneite islet, than with organic matter. this is in the case of an herbicide, the azafluron, which is a polar substitute urea with a high water solubility. And also working with mother solvents in the case of metamitone, which is also a polar with high water solubility, we find higher absorption in a ferric monomerionite than in a humic acid. The role of mineral soil fraction in sorption measurement has been considered by several groups and researchers. In 1997, Arnold and co-workers, they proposed to consider this sorption of the mineral components of the soil, calculating a KD, which is considers both KOC and what they call a K-min. And our group in year 2000, we defined like a KD, a sorption coefficient, a K-clay, based on the clay fraction of soil, but considering both the organic and inorganic components of the soil fraction, call it fraction. And that could be used in modeling in the particular cases of Mediterranean soils of low organic carbon content and polar pesticides. Here we see for a lot of pesticides and some organic contaminants how the variation coefficient decreases when we express, when we calculate sorption as a K-clay instead of a KD. You see, especially in the case of polar compounds, there's a great difference in ionic, of course. Well, another important aspect related with sorption is the effect of association between soil components. Because when we've done a lot of studies, especially at the beginning of earlier in our group, with clay, pure clay minerals or humic acids, and we found that the association between the soil components can affect the sorption capacity of the individual soil components. Clay, oxides, and organic matter, they interact through different mechanisms that can affect the assortivity. Here we see from a paper from Koskinen and Harper in 1990, how like a model of how clay particles interact with humic substances. And we've worked with Bill, with atrazine and simazine, and we've seen that the complexes of organic matter and iron oxide reduce 60% the sorption of organic matter, while on the contrary, the iron oxide and monomerionite complexes duplicate sorption on monomerionite. This paper was published in 1998, and it was with atrazine and simazine with model associations. Also with imidacloprid, we did some nice studies with the clay fraction of different soils. As you see, the organic carbon contents are low. And when we treat these clay fractions with hydrogen peroxide for partial removal of the organic matter, we see there's a decrease in organic carbon, there's an increase in specific surface area measured with nitrogen. And when we see the sorption coefficients, when we calculate the KOC, we see that after hydrogen peroxide treatment, KOC values greatly increase. And this indicates shows the contribution of the mineral components in imidacloprid sorption. This is published in 1998, also with Bill. It was one of my papers of my postdoctoral stay here in Minnesota. Well, now I'm going to talk a little bit about the applications of the mineral soil components. Thanks to their sorbent properties. And we've also done a lot of work with organoclays, which are when natural clays through ionic exchange reactions, we substitute the inorganic cation by organic cations. And here we have two nice papers of with Bill of two postdocs with triadimiform interactions with organoclays and organohydrotalcites. And dicamba absorption, on organic clays. As an example, in this graph, we see how the sorption of stenosine and imidacloprid increases when the inorganic cation of the clays are substituted by different organic cations. FW is a monounit, and you see that the sorption is very low, whereas in the other cases, in general, is very high. Another practical application is the use of clays as slow-release formulations. Here in this graph, a very simple graph, is when the clays are applied, the pesticides applied as a complex with the organic clay, well, the leaching can be decreased and runoff can be decreased. Clays as filters, the graph is very simple and very clear. Water contaminated with pesticides can be purified thanks to the sorption properties of the clays or the organic clays, and also has barriers in the case of spills. Pesticide can be absorbed to this clay and prevent the contamination of groundwater. Another line of research that we are working now and we have ongoing projects is the effect of organic amendments and biochar and on pesticide sorption. We've done a lot of work with especially an organic residue from olive oil production because we have a lot of it in our area, and is a residue that is generated in very high amounts and in a short period of time. So it represents an environmental problem. And we've done out of work thanks to Bill with Kurt Spokas also, because he introduced us to him, and he's an expert in biochar. So we work with biochar produced from olive oil meal waste and from other feedstocks. Here in this graph is summarizes the effect of the organic amendments in leaching or sorption of pesticides. When an organic amendment is incorporated to the soil, you are incorporating non-soluble organic matter, which in general increases sorption and thus consequently reduces leaching. And also it can protect pesticide molecules from degradation. So in this case it would favor leaching, because there's a higher amount of pesticide available for leaching. Also, organic amendments favor, in general, structure of the soils, which can favor infiltration and consequently leaching. But when an organic amendment is applied to the soil, you can also incorporate the dissolved organic matter. In some cases, this is more important. In some other cases, it's less important. The dissolved organic matter has been shown to, in some cases, favor leaching through different mechanisms, like interactions in solution. You see here there's a simple scheme of how, what would occur. The pesticide molecules would interact with the dissolved organic matter and would easily leach. And also competitive sorption is another mechanism that can favor pesticide leaching, because in the case of dissolved organic matter sorbs to the same sorption sites. Here I present some very nice results with simazine and 2,4-D. We found that in the same soil and with the same organic amendment, it's an organic amendment of very high dissolved organic matter content. Well, in the case of simazine, we find a reduced, this represents the breakthrough curves in soil column experiments. And we see that leaching is decreased in the case of simazine, and this is due to an increase in sorption. Whereas in the case of 2,4-D, we find a completely different behavior. We find that there are higher amounts of 2,4-D leach in the same soil amended with the same amendment. And we have attributed this, well, we have demonstrated by sorption and experiments that the sorption is much lower in the case of the amended soil. And also the dissolved organic matter protects two-fold different degradation. Also with dialysis experiments, we've shown that 2,4-D can interact with this dissolved organic matter, and in that way, absorption is decreased and degradation is also decreased. We published this in 2001, effect of exogenous carbon on movement of cimacine and 2,4-D in soil. And this was also in collaboration with a PhD student or undergraduate student from Minnesota that came to our laboratories for a period, short period. Well, now we have some ongoing projects on biochar. As I say, thanks to, we also have a collaboration with Kurt's Focus and with a lot of nice publications with Bill. Biochars, they have high surface area, micropore structure, high porosity, and a high surface reactivity, so they can be good solvents for pesticides. In our laboratory, we characterized these biochars. Here I show some nice pictures of scanning electron micrograph, NMR, and infrared spectroscopy of the biochars. And just as an example of a paper also published with Bill and with Kurt, the comparative sorption and leaching of the herbicides flumethrin and 4-chloro-2-methylphenoxyacetic acid, MCPA, in a soil amended with biochar and other solvents. We see that when the unamended soil, the soil is treated with biochar, the sorption really increased, depending also on the type of biochar. And in this slide, I just want to summarize the scientific contribution of Bill Koskinen to the careers of many people of our group since 1997 till 2015. And we have 44 joint publications scientific journals of very high impact, and a total of citations of 1,045. And that this could be like the average CV of a middle-aged scientist in agriculture, at least that I know in our country. So it was a very important collaboration. And here I just wrote three of the most highly cited papers. Some of them they were in your list, Sian. And especially with atrazine and cimacine, and with imidacloprid, we have a lot of citations of these papers. And not only they contributed to our scientific careers, but now I want to show some nice part of the presentation. We had a wonderful time when we went to a lot of meetings where we discussed a lot of scientific results. We are discussing while eating. Bill and Linda and HH and Joe and Rafael Stelis, which is in his postdoc state. Maria Jose Carrizosa, she was an undergraduate for 3 months at that moment. Another picture discussing the results with it was like a laboratory meeting. You see Brian, Maria Jose, Rafa, Bill. We're talking about hysteresis and resorption.
Oh, yeah.
That made us very thirsty, so we had to drink a little bit of wine. Juan Cornejo and Carmen Hermosin, which are the heads of, Juan used to be the head of our department, and now is Carmen. We also have time to ride a horse. There's Maria Jesus Calderon and Bill talking about the extraction methods of pesticides and metabolites. I don't know what to say about this. This was at the Minnesota State Fair. Really, at the Minnesota State Fair, we didn't talk about work. We had a very good time.
You just ate.
Yes, ate. and we surely experience something very different from our country, because we live in the south of Spain, where it's normally very hot, especially in the summer, and mild in the winter, and we experience the very cold weather of Minnesota. This is Alegría Cabrera, which is also, I think she's the one from our group that, well, in Carmen, 2 years of postdoc stay with Bill. She really enjoyed the weather. And there's also another picture of cold weather. There's a you can't see, but Ana Muñoz, which also which work with Mike Sadowski, and Alegría, that are coming in and out of the igloo and drinking some tea. And that's a picture of a very young me with my farewell present when I was leaving to Spain. It's a lab coat showing the minus 32 Fahrenheit or Celsius, I don't know. That was the temperature when the day I arrived, the first arrived in Minnesota. And yes, this is the list of, in order of appearance, I mean the first person that came, not only women, also some men. Rafael Celis came first for an undergraduate stay for 3 months. Then I came for a postdoc, the professor Marcin Cornejo for a stay. Technicians, undergraduate, PhD students, postdocs, so a lot of people, most of them women. But we find Rafael and Juan, two men. And thank you for your attention, and thanks. Thank you, Bill.
We have about 5 minutes or so for questions. Any questions or comments?
Dumb question, you may have mentioned it, but how much biological activity do you lose with biochar? You got all this increased absorption, okay?
It depends on really, we haven't done too many bioavailability, this type of studies, but we are planning on doing them now. But it depends so much on the biochar, because some biochar, they solve very strongly and they solve too much, so then they can't be used because the pesticide will not be effective. But some others, sorption is not as strong, and desorption is easier and can be used. Those are experiments we are planning on doing now. I don't know if I answered your question.
We did look at some in our lab, and if you had strong absorption, we didn't have any. We basically protected the plants from any kind of symptoms, especially atrazine and alkyl. We just didn't get any activity.
Activating charcoal.
Yep. Yeah. And it again depended on the biochar. There were some that were a little bit less active and some that were more active.
And you would eliminate a little bit, and also probably.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? Bill's out of the room, so we can talk about it.